Really glad that you are with us on this Thanksgiving weekend. We are playing back some of our favorite moments, highlights, best ofs from the last couple of months. You know, so we can get a couple of days off with the family. And because the Seahawks have a Monday night football game, it means that I get Sunday off too. So it's a full 4-day weekend. And on Monday, by the way, we will be doing our show live from the CenturyLink Field Event Center from noon till 2. And then at 2 o'clock, I will shift into our Seahawks pregame coverage. And that is going to be a huge game for the Seahawks. Monday night, the Minnesota Vikings have an 8-3 record, and they are playing about as well as any team in the NFL, as are the Seahawks. And so you match up those two teams on Monday Night Football, and that's going to be fantastic. So that'll be our schedule when we are back on the air live on Monday. The Dory Monson Show, live from the CenturyLink Event Center from noon till 2. And then Seahawks football pregame starts right at 2 o'clock. And we will take you right up to kickoff of Monday Night Football, my pregame show co-hosts and I, because you are listening to your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. And between now and then, enjoy some of our favorite segments, interviews, and moments from the last few weeks here on The Dory Monson Show. And this is a real serious issue, and you have to know what's going on with law enforcement around here. Because, as I've told you, the cops, both Seattle police, King County Sheriff's deputies, they are despondent at the chaos. I mean, in Seattle, the problem is the politicians. You have a city council that hates the police and wants to see the ultimate destruction of the police force. And I went through this in more detail yesterday. But you have a city council that wants to see the destruction, literal destruction of our police force, so they can rebuild a police department in their Marxist image. And that's why we have all the crime, all the drugs, all the homeless. And so the cops in Seattle see what's happening, know they have no support, know they have a city council that despises police officers. And so it's a real tough place to work. In King County, you have command, and I've talked extensively about the chaos with Mitzi Johanknik, her chief of staff, Liz Rocha, and the undersheriff, Scott Summers. How we've had sheriff's department personnel thanking us, begging us to help. I've had some of the top people in King County government who have been telling me how concerned they are about public safety. Well, the cops today are more concerned than ever with public safety. And that's because King County Sheriff's Office has always participated in a database that all the law enforcement agencies share, all the ones that participate in it, called Lynx. And 2 days ago, yesterday rather, the undersheriff, Scott Summers, who, you know, the main incompetence seems to be coming from Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik and her chief of staff, Liz Rocha. I mean, that's where everybody says these people are over their head. They have no business running a major sheriff's department. But just yesterday, they sprung this on their deputies. And we had sources that exclusively provided us what Scott Summers sent to his deputies. I'm going to read it to you. I would like to apologize for not communicating the termination of our agreement with Northwest Lynx internally before it was terminated yesterday, and why terminating the agreement became necessary. And then he talks about all his credentials. He says, we acknowledge and understand the impact to many of you who use this resource as part of your work on a daily basis. And so they readily acknowledge that this is a valuable resource for their officers. But he said in this missive, he said that because of fears that ICE could access this database, even though it has no immigration status data, but they do not want federal law enforcement to have any access. So their solution, because we've got some radical leftist nuts. They are pro-crime. I'm talking about Mitzi Johanknik now. They are pro-criminal. They are radical leftists who hate federal law enforcement, ICE. And so they would rather make the job much more dangerous for their deputies, and they would much rather make it far more dangerous for the public. They would rather that we be victims of crime than they cooperate with federal law enforcement. And this is what happens when you put radical, incompetent leftists at the top of a major police agency. And Scott Summers wrote, "I know that this is going to impact our ability to efficiently access information for conducting investigations and support other functions." So they know that this is going to make the public less safe. But because of radical leftist ideology, they are willing to sacrifice lives if they must. I mean, if people die because of this, and I'm talking about the public and I'm talking about their deputies, if people die because they don't have access to this database that can cross-check with other agencies and know exactly who they're dealing with, if people die, they're willing to sacrifice those human lives rather than cooperate with federal law enforcement. I'm telling you, I've been watching things around here for a long time. This is stomach churning, what's going on right now. I got exclusively, we've obtained a letter from a King County Sheriff's deputy who will remain anonymous, who tells us the Lynx system is a cooperative repository for police reports from multiple agencies grouped by neighborhoods comprised of areas around the United States. It's maintained and administered by NCIS. Only agencies who input information into Lynx are allowed to access the database. And then they point out, so King County Sheriff's out now. They're out of this database. The average detective at the King County Sheriff's Office uses the Lynx system on a daily basis. The lack of access to this database negatively affects the following investigative areas: suspect contacts with other local agencies, suspect associates, no further access to addresses of suspects outside of King County, no perspective on the danger level of suspects who are outside of King County by viewing past or current cases that adversely affects officer safety and preparedness, the ability to search for like crimes or patterns of criminal behavior in neighboring jurisdictions, locating victims of property crimes in other neighboring jurisdictions, locating contact information, on and on and on it goes. The cops are telling us that this is going to put cops' lives at risk, and it's going to put citizen safety at great risk. The tipster to us said, "These are just a few of the tools that are now lost to us. There's currently no other database that fills this vital role in the daily investigation of crimes. There is no reason for King County sheriffs to stop participating in this, as we contribute no data on persons' citizenship status. This will have a huge negative impact on the investigation of crimes, the communication of vital information between neighboring agencies, and result in a less safe operating environment for deputies and detectives. Once again, the political concerns of non-citizens are outweighing the ability of law enforcement to serve the community of tax-paying citizens." Because illegals have taken control of local government. Seattle police won't use this Lynx system either, for the same reason. Because illegals have taken control of local politics, we've got now in Seattle police and in King County sheriffs, with this decision by Johanknik and her undersheriff, Scott Summers, they are willing to risk officers' lives, and they're willing to risk citizens' lives because they must kowtow to the insanity of this anti-ICE, pro-illegal mentality. And when you have a sheriff who puts the non-rights, the claimed rights of illegals, when you have a sheriff who puts illegals before the citizens and her own deputies, you got a real problem. You have a real problem. And so it's just another example of the unbelievable incompetence that we are seeing in this Mitzi Johanknik reign. And I've heard from so many, and I'd love to hear, if you're a sheriff's deputy, you can anonymously contact us. You can text us. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. But it was an anonymous deputy who let us know about this decision and his or her feedback on what that means for deputies' safety. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that they're willing to risk our lives so that they can have some non-existent level of safety for illegals. We've got some horrible people, not just in the stupidity of their world perspective, but who they prioritize, and in the case of the sheriff, sheer incompetence. And this is a story about how illegals control government around here. And that's because the King County Sheriff's Office sent a message to all of their personnel yesterday. There's a database called Lynx where police departments can share information about people in the system, about criminals. The King County Sheriff's Office is withdrawing from this database sharing. Why? Because they want to protect illegals, even if it makes life more dangerous for deputies and law-abiding citizens. Scott Summers, the undersheriff, sent out a message that was exclusively shared with the Dory Monson Show. I would like to apologize, this is to his personnel, I would like to apologize for not communicating the termination of our agreement with Northwest Lynx before it was terminated yesterday. I want to let you know why terminating the agreement became necessary. He said that they worked with Lynx to try to develop firewalls between criminal and civil immigration functions within ICE. We could not reach a solution that ensured that civil immigration functions would not have access, especially when viewed from a national level. And then he writes, I know that this is going to impact our ability to efficiently access information for conducting investigations and support other functions. So he admits that this is going to hinder them as a law enforcement agency. But because they want to protect illegals, even though there's no immigration status information entered into this system, they still want to protect illegals. So the King County Sheriff's Office, and we've told you a lot, and we now have had what to me is conclusive proof that Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik is incompetent, over her head. Under Sheriff Scott Summers, there's chaos within the department. Their chief of staff to the sheriff, Liz Rocha, is just a horrible, horrible person in that role. And now the King County Sheriff, by their own admission, this is what the undersheriff wrote. I know this is going to impact our ability to efficiently access information for conducting investigations and support other functions. He then closed, we acknowledge and understand the impact to many of you who use this resource as part of your work on a daily basis. So the sheriff's department is admitting that they are going to put their deputies' lives at risk. They are going to put citizens at risk of increased crime because they want to do everything they can to hate on federal law enforcement. A deputy who contacted us, who shared this memo with us, He told me the Link system is a cooperative repository for police reports. He said it affects, he says, getting out of this database negatively affects the following investigative areas: suspect contacts with other local agencies, suspect associates, no further access to addresses of suspects outside of King County, no perspective on the danger level of suspects who are outside of King County by viewing past or current cases that adversely affects officer safety and preparedness, and on and on and on. He says that this is a tool that sheriff's deputies use every single day. The lack of access to this net database puts them at risk. And since we exclusively told you this story at noon today, we've been hearing from a lot of other King County sheriff's deputies. Please keep this anonymous. Retaliation is real in the King County Sheriff's Office. This is another completely asinine example of sanctuary policies crippling the effectiveness of law enforcement. While I am not as tenured and salty as some of my other colleagues, I've been in law enforcement for nearly 10 years. I never have seen and experienced such adversarial policies and laws toward public safety and its officers. Then he tells us what we had already heard. Yesterday, my entire department received the email telling us that we're no longer part of Lynx. This is a program that enables easy dissemination of criminal justice intelligence for the Northwest region. This is an invaluable resource for law enforcement. So Mitzi Jo Hanknik, and I've gotten several texts from people who say this is also Dow Constantine. Dow Constantine's fingerprints are all over this. For Mitzi Jo Hanknik and Dow Constantine, and I am not engaging in hyperbole here, they would rather have a higher level of their risk of their deputies being killed than to do anything to cooperate with ICE. They care so much more about illegals than they care about the men and women who put on the uniform, who risk their lives every single day. They care, Constantine and Mitzi care more about illegals than the deputies who risk their lives. And these men and women who continue to serve nobly, bravely, selflessly, knowing that they have no leadership at the top, that they have absolutely nothing from their sheriff or their county executive that cares about them nearly as much as they care about illegals. Disgusting. As I said earlier, stomach churning. And that's who we voted in. We voted, not me. Somebody voted for Dow Constantine and Mitzi Jo Hanknik. Heaven help us all. Glad you've been listening to these best of segments, favorite interviews, favorite show segments here on the Dory Monson Show. Hope you are having a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that you are just surrounded by family and friends and food and love. And this is my favorite holiday still. Still not too commercialized. I know the Black Friday thing gets overdone, but Thanksgiving itself is still really cool and fun. So we're glad that you have us tuned in. We hope that you've enjoyed some of our favorite segments and interviews here on the Dory Monson Show. I love this job, but some of the things I have to do, I sat up till about 3 a.m. watching every minute of every Jay Inslee interview on MSNBC. He was on three different shows over the weekend on MSNBC.
Wasn't he on CNN as well?
I don't know. He was on CNN maybe Friday. I think we had some of that audio.
Okay.
But yeah, MSNBC, it was all Inslee all the time because I don't know why. They want their ratings to go even lower, apparently. And so I sat through all of these interviews just so I could share with you the best of the best. So let's go. This is the first interview he did on the network. I think this was on Saturday. And he talked about how he's going to create jobs in the clean energy industry if he's elected president.
Well, look, today, the fastest growing jobs in America are in the clean energy industry right now. Jobs in the clean energy industry are actually growing twice as fast as the rest of the United States economy.
Okay, now I've exposed how bogus that stat is because they're starting with almost no jobs in that industry. They're going from like 4,000 jobs in that industry to 8,000. And he says, well, it's 100% increase. That's the fastest. Well, yeah, when it's a brand new industry and you started with almost no people working in that industry, it's easy on a percentage basis to try to bolster those numbers, but that's a bogus stat right there.
The fastest growing job today is solar installer. Number two is wind turbine technician. Maybe three or four are carpenters and laborers that are rebuilding our buildings. Look, these are the jobs that are going to power the new economy. And we're all about building a clean energy economy. Donald Trump wants to chase the phantoms of the past. And yesterday, when he said we can just go back to coal, is really a lie to the American people. So I'm all about jobs. We're building the best economy in the United States and Washington. I want to do that for America.
Okay. So he's going to do for America what he's done for Washington. But he doesn't mention the rampant crime. We've got a gang war around here. The shootings in White Center yesterday, another evidence that a gang war is rampant. Here in King County, we've got needles everywhere. We've got homeless everywhere. And he wants to do all that for the country as well. And then he started talking about the Green New Deal because he's got to win over those cult members.
Well, I think it's consistent entirely with the Green New Deal, which I'm really excited about. It has raised the profile of this issue. I love the fact that young people are driving this idea of a Green New Deal. And now we need policies to actually effectuate it. So I have a proposal and an...
By the way, I looked it up. That is a word, but it's just not a word anybody uses. Effectuate it. We're going to have policy. And that's one of his problems. He doesn't speak like a normal person. He tries to come across as folksy, but he uses words. Effectuate is an actual word, but I'd never heard it before. I've never heard anybody use it before.
Idea of a Green New Deal, and now we need policies to actually effectuate it. So I have a proposal and an experience that's very unique in the field of candidates. One, it's the only plan that will actually eliminate our use of coal-based electricity in 10 years. It is the only plan that will eliminate our use of fossil fuels in our grid in 15 and give us clean cars starting 10 years from now. It is unique.
So we're not going to have any fossil fuels in 15 years, he says, under President Inslee. But he hasn't been able to get any of this stuff pushed through with a very Democrat legislature here in Washington, because even the radical Democrats in our legislature have said that that's too far for Washington. So, of course, the nation is not going to go for it. But it just went on and on and on.
But we need to take away the filibuster, because the filibuster prevents the fruition of bipartisanship.
That's another phrase. It's just the fruition of bipartisanship. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's so funny that you're parsing out those words. He graduated with a degree in law. So is it really surprising to you? Magna cum laude,
Ursula,
by the way.
He went to Stanford for 1 year and then flunked out and got his law degree from Willamette. Now, there's nothing wrong with Willamette, but it ain't Stanford. And he says,
he also graduated from UW.
Right. Was it UW or was it?
University of Washington.
Okay. Yeah, but he went to Stanford for 1 year.
There's nothing wrong with Wazoo.
Couldn't hack. I didn't say there was. My daughter went to one of my daughters. But he went to Stanford for 1 year, couldn't hack it, and got his law degree from Willamette.
Now, but you're giving him a bad time because he's actually using words that might elevate the English language.
The fruition of bipartisanship.
But we need to take away the filibuster, because the filibuster prevents the fruition of bipartisanship. We could have 10 Republicans voting with us to try to stop climate change, and he could use the filibuster, or five or six anyway, to prevent us from moving forward. So I would love to see a bipartisan effort, but as long as Mitch McConnell is wedded to the fossil fuel industry, we are not going to be able to move this country forward unless we get rid of the filibuster. I'm the first candidate to say that. We have to defeat the climate crisis. This is our last chance. We cannot give power to Donald Trump, who says wind turbines cause cancer. We know they cause jobs. We're going to get that job done.
Okay, remember that phrase. We know that wind turbines don't cause cancer. They cause jobs. Okay, so that was his first interview on MSNBC. So then he did a second interview on a different show, and he started talking about Iran.
Look, I don't know what happened there. All I know is it probably isn't a very good bet to trust a man that has told us untruths about every 2 hours for the last 2.5 years.
Really? You're going to talk about telling the truth? Mr. I promise I won't raise taxes in Washington State if you elect me governor. You're going to talk about candidates who don't tell the truth? Okay. All right. Bold approach, given your background.
I think the more important question, though, is why are we having this unnecessary tension with Iran? Why are we not observing the treaty, the agreement?
It's like unnecessary tension with Iran. They shot down an unmanned drone over international waters. And you're wondering why? You're calling that unnecessary tension? That wasn't provoked by us because we didn't want to continue with a horrible deal that was going to send billions in cash, literal cash, on pallets to Iran. It was a horrible deal for this country. And now you're saying that somehow we provoked them shooting down the unmanned drone in international waters. Okay. All right. Great leader.
Which was on a path to keep them from becoming a nuclear power. Look, all of us are committed to Iran not becoming a nuclear power. We had an agreement. It was an enforceable agreement. They were complying with it. The international community was with us. There's no reason for this tension. That's the thing that's so troublesome for this. We need to go back.
But they shot down our drone. Okay, I'm gonna go after his language again here, too.
It has to be the first foremost priority. It has to be the thing that is the paramount duty.
The paramount. Going after climate change.
It's kind of like that Montlake. Yeah, it should be paramount.
Yeah. Oh, but he went to Stanford for 1 year. That's why he flunked out of Stanford right there. Paramount duty.
It has to be the first foremost priority. It has to be the thing that is the paramount duty because it is an existential crisis. And I have...
You got existential crisis in there, too. More, please, from interview number two.
I've pledged to make defeating the climate crisis the number one priority of the United States. That is a unique commitment. And my vision to do that has been called the gold standard by Ocasio-Cortez. It's been given an A by Greenpeace. I encourage people to take a look at it and go to Jay Inslee on my website and take a look at it. And I'm also got a message.
Did he
message.
Forget his website there? Did he forget it?
That's what it sounded like. He forgot all of a sudden and he just blew past it.
All it is a .com. It's jayinslee.com.
I encourage people to take a look at it and go to Jay Inslee. On my website and take a look at it. And I've also got a message of economic development by building a middle class instead of a trickle-down economy.
That's interesting because I've heard from Jenny Durkin and Dow Constein and every state politician that we have no middle class in Washington, that we just have the haves and the have-nots, and that's one of the biggest problems. But now you're telling us you're somehow going to build that at the national level. That's interesting to me. And I like that he cited that he got a gold star from AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Okay, so now the third interview. Oh, wait, did I play the end of that? I think he does his, cause cancer line again?
On my website and take a look at it. And I'm also got a message of economic development by building a middle class instead of a trickle-down economy.
No, he didn't say it there. Okay, third interview with Jay Inslee now on MSNBC. They just paraded him from one show to another. And in this one, here he is, his favorite line once again.
And Donald Trump can tweet. He can say, you know, wind turbines cause cancer all he wants. But we know they cause jobs. And we know that this science.
Okay, he keeps saying that. Trump says wind turbines cause cancer. We know they cause jobs. He said in the first interview. Let me check the second interview.
Again. It's been given an A by Greenpeace. I encourage people to take a look at it and go to Jay Inslee, my website, and take a look at it. And I'm also got a message of economic.
That's not that one there. I know he says it in that second interview. I know he said it in the second interview.
I'll get it for you.
Okay. And then, let's see. He did his rollout in Miami over the weekend.
So we are now showing, I'm rolling out the fourth part of my plan tomorrow in Miami, a community that's frequently been inundated by rising sea levels. So people.
If I missed that news. Miami has been inundated by rising sea levels, because I've completely missed that. I've not seen any stories about Miami being underwater or the beaches disappearing. But according to Jay Inslee, Miami has been inundated by rising waters. More?
I've got the most aggressive plan to actually put meat on the bone to wind down the fossil fuel pollution that's infecting us. It's been called the gold standard. I'm the only one given an A by Greenpeace for good reason, because it's based on science and optimism.
So there was the steady parade of Jay Inslee all over MSNBC all weekend long. And again, the problem with Jay Inslee is the more people hear from him, the more bored they get. Really glad that you are with us on this Thanksgiving weekend. We are playing back some of our favorite moments, highlights, best ofs from the last couple of months. You know, so we can get a couple of days off with the family. And because the Seahawks have a Monday night football game, it means that I get Sunday off too. So it's a full 4-day weekend. And on Monday, by the way, we will be doing our show live from the CenturyLink Field Event Center from noon till 2. And then at 2 o'clock, I will shift into our Seahawks pregame coverage. And that is going to be a huge game for the Seahawks. Monday night, the Minnesota Vikings have an 8-3 record, and they are playing about as well as any team in the NFL, as are the Seahawks. And so you match up those two teams on Monday Night Football, and that's going to be fantastic. So that'll be our schedule when we are back on the air live on Monday. The Dory Monson Show, live from the CenturyLink Event Center from noon till 2. And then Seahawks football pregame starts right at 2 o'clock. And we will take you right up to kickoff of Monday Night Football, my pregame show co-hosts and I, because you are listening to your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. And between now and then, enjoy some of our favorite segments, interviews, and moments from the last few weeks here on The Dory Monson Show.